Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Watching Westworld, the officially unofficial podcast for Westworld on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we're talking about season four, episode one. Aaron's moving his camera around. This is an instant
take. Huge. My melon was huge.
I mean,
you had me 400x zoom. It's already giant, man.
Yeah, that was going to be my point, but okay. Aaron, what do you think of the auguries? The auguries.
Do you know what the auguries are?
Only because I looked it up.
Oh, okay.
And I only know one meaning of it, which is probably a superficial meaning, and I'm sure Nolan and Joy have a much deeper meaning that they're going to weave into the rest of this season. But
what's the superficial?
It's basically an omen, portent of either good or bad things to come.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. This is an interesting episode. Like, in typical Westworld fashion, I'm not sure exactly what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
But I sure do like the idea of Teddy being back in Dolores's life, Christina's life. I want to rapid fire bounce a bunch of theories and ideas about what's going on off of you.
Yeah.
I also thought this was a pretty competently staged action scenes, which I like. I like to see that early on in Westworld, because this is an action sci-fi show, amongst other things, and sometimes they've struggled with that. But I really liked it. Like, they really threw us into the middle of it. The 7-year time jump, and not even then, because they talk about a war, and I'm thinking about they're talking about a robot war. There's a lot has changed in the world, and because people living in the world wouldn't be talking about how much stuff's changed all the time, we're kind of left to catch up with it, because they're not going to sit and look right at the camera and say, here's the history of the... But I like that. I like kind of like returning to the mysterious aspects of Westworld. What'd you think?
I was into it. They're setting up a mystery around kind of what... I guess... who Christina is, what she does, and how that relates to these people that are trying to get her attention, let's say, throughout this episode. I found that pretty interesting, and I don't know how that ties back into the story of robots, but I assume we'll explore more about that in the season.
Is it people or is it a person? Because, like, throughout the episode, he kept on referencing we, but it was always just a single person. Is it the same voice, the same schlubby looking dude?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I assume that when he says we, there are other people behind that we, but I don't know.
I've got some theories and ideas. I just don't know when to start talking about it. What do you think the man... Let's just fuck it. Let's get to it. What do you think the man in black is doing purchasing the Hoover Dam?
Well, he's clearly looking for the Sublime, right? Like, him and Shaloris have tracked the Sublime back to the server farm that the Hoover Dam has become, which I thought was really cool. A source of power right at the data center. Why not? That's pretty sweet. I was surprised it's like the drug cartel could buy the Hoover Dam out from under the government.
That's the crazy thing about the world building. I'm not sure if they'll give us answers, but I'm like, this is kind of some reverse sea land where somehow drug cartels from Mexico have bought the Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
And have turned it into a no questions asked, Iron Mountain for your fucking data.
Interesting. Interesting. That's always been a cool idea.
That was one of the questions we had about, we know that something with the Sublime ended up in the marble in Bernard's head, but also that shit was beamed off into some kind of satellite location link.
Yeah.
I thought that was always a dangling thread, and I think we just, a lot of shit's happened in 7 years, but I thought that's where they're going with that.
Yeah, it seems pretty clear. And
is it a hostile...
a hostile
is a hostile takeover. I don't know.
I mean, it's hard to say. Like, Shaloris, as far as I knew, was hellbent on killing all humans, but robots? I don't know why she would want to kill them.
We're still, well, so, okay. We're assuming the man in black is a robot copy that is doing Shaloris's bidding, right?
Based on what we saw her will at the end of last season,
Still maintaining the face of Delos and, you know, being a wealthy guy and just kind of being their agent to do whatever they need. Because I thought at the end, that was one of my theories, is that Shaloris isn't actually trying to condemn human society. She actually wants to fix it. But I also think that she's got, like, maybe a separate equal thing going on where she doesn't want anyone to be able to fuck with the legacy of the AI. There's, like, a three-prong. Like, she wants to fix human society, introduce AI society into the real world, and then preserve the sublime. You know, preserve all those souls and personalities.
And also kill Dolores and Maeve and Caleb,
if they get in their way, I guess. But the man in black is trying to rub them out. We found that out tonight. Yeah.
And not getting in their way. Like, I mean, Maeve is out in the woods doing nothing for 7-8 years, so it's not like she was actively fucking with them. They are hunting her, so they clearly want her.
Does she
want
to be found though? Because she was out in the beginning of this episode. She was communing with the generator, and she caused, you know. She's got some control through her, like, mesh network, evolutionary upgrades of the real world and electronics. It felt like she was, like, on Dagobah flexing her powers, trying to, like, get a little bit of mastery and like, did an experiment to get out of control? Because it seems like that's how they tracked her. Or was she wanting to be found? She's ready to get her piece back on the board now for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. That intro is super interesting to me, where she's out there meditating and we're seeing kind of what might be flashbacks, but what could also be flash forwards. Because they put an image of what is it, Rehoboam, and what was Solomon? Was that the other one? I can't even remember the other computer's name.
Yes.
They put that image in there. That I think that was Solomon, because it was in the Insight Tower. So they throw that in there, which makes me think, like, she is not seeing the past here, because although she could be. I don't know. We don't know what happened during these 8 years with a robot war and Caleb. But, like, Caleb is grievously injured in that scene.
That feels robot war stuff.
It feels robot war stuff, but it also feels like, does he survive that and come back from that and live a normal life? Or is this a vision of the future that she's seeing because she's developing Rehoboam Solomon-like powers?
Projection power?
Yeah.
Predictive power?
Like, what is she actually doing in this scene? I don't know.
Huh. Well, he's also got a little bit more scarred up. I don't remember. Or maybe I can see. I just watched, like, the last three episodes a week ago, and I didn't remember him having as many scars on his face as he did. But
yeah,
maybe he got those in the riot.
Could, yeah.
Because, like, the thing is, we also know that there was war, some unspecified wars that he had fought in before. So, like, when they refer to war and the riots, I feel like there were the riots and then the robot wars, and then that led to the outlaw of robotics. Do you think, because that's the other thing I question, is, like, the general population, are they aware that there are, like, indistinguishable AI that walk among us? Is that why the robot, like...
Yeah, I don't think so.
Did we fight a war against those things and defeat them? Because I'd like... I don't know, like, the robot wars, that can mean a lot of different things. The thing running Cable with Aaron Paul early last season, I don't think that's what they're going to war against, you know?
Yeah, even though that's thing they phased out. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know how that went down, but I mean, there's clearly, like, a line that they were able to draw where it's like, okay, these things are useful and not sentient or not capable of taking over the world, like...
Right.
Automated cars, right? We see that technology still in use. But then there's something about the Cable Runners that was too advanced. Yeah. It's like, where is the line drawn there? That's what I want to know.
I wonder if it's metaphoric, though, because, like, maybe the wars are referring to the unrest in society, and one of the agreements that the elites put in place between the people was, okay, we're going to roll back automation to preserve jobs, you know? But I think that's the real question, and what's this is kind of a bleak season, is it feels like this is a lot of people agree this was a blow for, or struck a blow for human independence and freedom. Mm-hmm. Yet you still have these guys working so much overtime that they can't even take off to observe the wedding, their wedding anniversary, right? Like, mm-hmm. It kind of shows the desperation. Like, maybe things are a little bit better because Aaron Paul can get married now, you know, and he's not on this predetermined put a gun in your mouth in 2 years path. But, no. You know, how much freedom does he really have? Because a free man probably want to take the day off and do something nice with his wife.
Sure. No,
it seems like
this show has not typically shied away from topics that we're struggling with our own society. Yeah. So yeah, I could see that being a thing they're going to touch on. There's also, you know, if you want to go down the, hey, how free are you actually? These flies. I really want to talk about these flies. And what
those flies,
their role is, because they go into this guy's body and take over his mind and force him to kill his business partners, and then sell, or not even sell, just give William the Hoover Dam.
I would love to know how this went through probate. You know, that this guy, you know what I'm saying? Like, when the sale gets processed, like, what are the circumstances of the sale? Well, the land was there, blah, blah, blah. And the guy went crazy and ape shit and murdered him and then delivered the murder. Yeah, I'd have a lot of questions, but yeah. Did you recognize this guy before we start talking about the scene?
I thought I did when I first saw him. I was like, oh my God, it's Stubbs. Because they show him at a weird angle. And I'm like, this guy kind of looks like Stubbs, but it's definitely not Stubbs. He looks super familiar.
It's Elaida's dad from For All Mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're seeing he's in old man makeup this season. So it kind of threw off the chase. There's another.
Mind controlled. Robots, right? I mean, is this guy human, or is this guy like a sleeper agent that they had implanted in there, and the flies can only take over the minds of the robots, or what?
I don't know. So I don't know whether they're going like nanotech, that there's some kind of thing, you know, Borg code that they're inserting into people, or they're going some kind of bioengineered fungus that takes over someone, but like, and it doesn't do it like subtly. It's not not near the sophistication that you could program a host. It's essentially giving someone a rage virus for a particular purpose. Mm-hmm. It was wild. It felt like, I don't know. It felt like you're watching a person not be a person anymore.
And he definitely seems like a human because he cuts his own throat, and that seems to be the end of him. So
yeah. So do you think, is there a possibility that they replaced him with a host
after the fact?
Like before the fact, like they've put key people in positions, you know, and they've murdered them and taken them over like pod people.
Yeah. Like they did with, Hale.
Cause you say before. He's person, but why are you assuming that? Cause like it's
cause he cuts his own throat and it seems final.
And why would you program the host and not know that he's a host? Like just be like, you know, like Charlotte, you know, like, I'm a host and I'm fucking taking over this human institution. That's awesome.
I think this guy's a human, which is scary because these flies seem to be able to control human minds.
I think that's where we're going with this. Yeah. It's wild because the trailer, they successfully rope-a-doped them into thinking that this was happening in the confines of like a Westworld park.
Sure.
You know, like the mobster world or whatever. But no, this was just in the comfort and privacy of his own home. He got he got flied.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Christina / Dolores stuff. So,
yes.
Who is this? Like, is this actually Dolores? Because if you recall, as we talked about in our preview, she got deleted last season. And
she got deleted.
There was some moment where, like, she maybe got uploaded into Solomon, but then Solomon or Rehoboam, I can't remember which is which. And then that got erased. So if she was in there, she got erased. It's...
I've got this idea that, like, Charlotte, one of the things Charlotte's trying to do is fix human society, and she's also trying to perfect the machine society. And I'm wondering if there's going to, like, be a doctrinal, almost religious difference of, like, what is better in terms of an AI? Is it better to be in a sublime where you're in a perfect paradise and there's never any want or whatever? And also, what does society look like that? Like, maybe they've got like ivory towers and pristine or stuff. Or maybe it's better to be in the real world, or maybe there's like different, you could like with different simulations, you could try all kinds of different like governments and permutations of life. I'm wondering if this isn't Charlotte, like she hasn't recreated Dolores and Teddy from the same kind of alchemaic principle that Dolores used to bring Arnold back, you know, like reconstruct him from just your perfect memory and run a test until it's indistinguishable from the, you know, baseline.
Could be.
I wonder if she's done that and then she is like running different iterations of like an ideal world with people's jobs and what they do to try to like get a perfect society. I don't know. That's my idea is that Charlotte is inside, or I'm sorry, Christina is inside some kind of simulation.
Okay.
Which feels very Matrix-y 4.
So there's that moment, right, where she's out in she's just been like cut by this dude and someone came in and like is punching the guy and then she looks over and they're gone.
Yeah.
And that felt very simulation-y to me, like glitch in the Matrix.
Yes.
You look one time, it's there. You look the next time, it's gone. It's
right. Something goes bump in the night.
That was the one inconsistency in her reality that didn't add up. So you could be right about that. The thing though is like,
I think Teddy's real. Teddy is the Avenger.
Yeah, Teddy comes in. I don't know. And with all the stuff they're doing with her, like writing characters who then become people in the real world, it seems.
And they're tragic. She's not allowed to write any kind of happy thing.
Right. And then Teddy showing up right after that makes me think that he is like an AI that, or an NPC that she wrote into one of her games as well. And now he's outside of the game, or maybe she's in the game playing the game. She's the only.
It's interesting
not
they bring up that terminology, NPC, non-playable character. So if you're not a video game nerd, you've got the main character. That's you. You're the person holding the controller and you're making them jump and slash and hack and shoot people. And NPCs are all the people you go up to in a town. There aren't other players. There's, you know, probably real players in the game that you can kill, but there's also fake players. They're the NPCs. And there's like in like political, like at least online political discourse, NPCs have been the term labeled for people who are like, that's the new like buzzword for sheep. You
okay,
know, like
sure.
You're an NPC, you just have your pre-programmed dialogue trees and you're given it by your school teachers and your mass media, blah, blah, blah. It's that kind of insane. Yeah. I wonder if they're doing something with that concept because, you know, it's been, this just shows kind of traveled in those kind of like, you know, be independent, free thinker versus a slave versus a sheep versus a program thing.
Yeah,
there's doing something to that.
There's something about like evolution and cycles of everything, cycles that happen, because if you recall, Dolores was built to be an NPC, right? And now here she is writing NPCs for video games. There's some cyclical thing going on here that I'm not 100% sure what they're going for, but there's another interesting thing at the end where she's like, oh, I want a story with a happy ending, stupid stories that nobody wants to hear. Mm-hmm. And I hear that, and I think like when you combine that with the stuff that was going on with Caleb and his wife and how she said, like, you're looking for something else, right? It's your wife and child aren't enough. You're always like looking for a war to fight. I get the impression that this season is shaping up to be something about like humans not wanting a serene life. Like they're too stupid to actually get a thing that's good for them. They want a fucking war. Like that seems to be the thing that is driving a lot of the action in this show.
It's Agent Smith's thesis in The Matrix that humans don't want an idyllic life. We have to have this kind of steady drip of misery.
Yeah. And then you could evolve past that as hosts, right? Because they aren't human. They could potentially go to the sublime and be totally fine with that.
I also like, I've been thinking about like a Brave New World and other dystopias where like everybody's kind of doped up and drugged up, but relatively happy. And I've been thinking like, are they really dystopias? Because it seems like a lot of things, a lot of reasons we're so neurotic nowadays is because we weren't we weren't evolved to live in the societies that we're living in. And it just jacks our stress and cortisol levels. Like we're being chased by fucking lions every goddamn second of the day. And it's never going to go away. And as you know, we got the cursed knowledge of our own death. What would be wrong with just kind of dosing us so we're okay with that? I'm not saying brain control, mind control. I'm saying like
for that,
just
man.
Something to just yeah, there's a test. Just blow that cortisol out of your brain. It's just going to just going to wear stress grooves in it if you keep doing like.
I don't think there's inherently anything wrong with it. I think the problem comes about when people take advantage of that, right?
Yeah,
for their own purposes and lead, and then people really do become sheep or NPCs.
But it feels like there's no, like the only other way to avoid that is either to evolve away to not. You know, be freaked out by modern society or go back to the Serengeti. I don't think we're going to do that. I don't think we're going to go start climbing trees and throwing sticks at bison again.
No, I'm not, certainly. Or push through it and evolve, you know, whether that's evolve our biochemistry through technology or whether that's create an entirely new being that destroys us and takes over.
Humanism, transhumanism. Yes. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
You've been listening to quite a few Bald Move podcasts now, but you're not in the club? Whoo boy, you are missing out.
Not only are all of our premium club podcast feeds completely ad-free, but we have lots of other great content exclusively for people in the club.
There's a weekly lunch with Jim and Aaron where we chat with fans about anything and everything from TV and films, food, fun, life advice, and more.
But there's also Off the Clock, our premium podcast where we talk about all the shows we don't have time for on our public feeds.
Plus, you get access to our full spoiler-filled first-run movie reviews of our newly released films.
Don't forget Instant Take and Talk podcast, where we give our hot takes and discuss television shows with our fans live and immediately after the episode airs.
With mega shows like House of the Dragon coming this summer, we're going to have lots to talk about.
Not to mention access to our fun and friendly community of club members, with exclusive Discord channels and a dedicated forum. It's one of the best places on the internet to hang out and chat about pop culture.
Bottom line, you're helping two regular type guys in the Midwest make the content you like to listen to, which some would say is rewarding to itself.
Help keep the lights on and the bits flowing at Bald Move.
And get some awesome content for yourself. Head to support.baldmove.com to join the club today. I'm excited because it does seem like they're going to be doing things about simulation theory. They're going to be doing things about, you know,
I mean, it is Westworld. You know,
what is the nature? Right. What is the right. nature of freedom? What is the nature of free will? But they're also, like I said, there's like, what does Westworld look like if you're outside the park? And I think it's, I want to see the scenes, but it feels a little bit like, insecurity to have to go back to the park. But I don't know. I guess you got Delos is still a concern. You got the man in black heading it. It's plausible, but it's like this is an episode that had nothing to do with any park. And it worked. It didn't need it. I thought that was the other kind of like a test of how mature the show is like it is completely off its central premise. And I'm still engrossed in like the end of this episode. I'm like, okay, this... I'm in for the season.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, the show gets more interesting without the park. I thought last season. I don't remember what I thought, you know, minute to minute on last season. But thinking about the themes and the possibilities of those themes in last season, I thought it was really strong from a conceptual standpoint. And I feel like this season might be shaping up to do the same. I mean, the whole show has been great from that angle. It's just like sometimes they go a little overboard with the trickery in this show. But we'll see. I almost hope that Dolores or Christina is not in some kind of simulation, although I know it's very likely given the video game tie-in. It's like, oh, Christ, because we've been through this, right? Do I really need another season two of Bernard freaking out, losing his mind, and suddenly it all makes sense at the end?
I feel like that's the Steppenwolf argument, because he's off the show, and it's because if anyone can be anything and anybody at any time, then why should anyone care about anything? And that's a reasonable response to the those things happen in front of you. But I'd say to get at some of the interesting things that we're going through as a society and seem to be going through in the near future, you have to abstract things a little bit. You have to grapple with concepts of lack of individuality and free will. And if that's it's going to be a little bit more cerebral and maybe not all the, because how can we connect to the drama of a quasi immortal being, right? But I don't know. I feel like that's weak. That's like being a 16th century peasant and be like, these fucking vampire rules. Well, if he can be anywhere and anytime, and he turn into mist and a bat and bite people in the neck and make trade for, like, well, who the fuck cares? You know, I was like, okay, all right. Well, this is a whole new type of fiction, Grandpa. And we're ready. I'm taking shots at my favorite television critic here. I'm just saying that, like, I see that argument, but like, I'm in it for the crazy shit. I'm in it for the plot twist and what it says about the future of humanity. And I guess I don't give a shit as much about the characterizations.
Yeah, I guess I'm not in it for the sake of that. Like, if it has supporting pillars for the story, I'm there for it. But if it's just gonna be like, hey, we got tricky to get tricky. Because the name Nolan is on this project, then I don't care. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, and having said that, like, I do think that the central things are like Maeve and her tie to her daughter, that they seem to be reinforcing with Aaron Paul's daughter, which looks a lot like Maeve's daughter. Sure. I'm not saying that they're related. I'm just saying thematically, seems like they're kind of had an Adam and Eve kind of thing last season, and they're reinforcing this with the you know, both wanting positive things for the children. I fucking qualify that so much I forgot what I was going to say. But I'm saying is, like, yeah, they are complex. I mean just from a Romeo and Juliet thing, I fucking like what's her name, Christina and Teddy. Yeah. His probably name won't be Teddy, it'll be something else. Sure. Like Bob.
I find it hilarious that Christina is basically Lee from the old seasons. She's writing NPC characters, and Lee was like the second-rate writer who was writing shitty characters.
But that's the inversion they're doing this season. Yeah. It's like they're full-on going to have host writing sappy, stupid things to distract either other AI or humans. And, you know, like I said, if you look at the trailer, if you look at our season preview, it seems like there's a lot of signs of Charlotte, Shaloris, just fucking programming people, not hosts, like people, in the same way that maybe a more sophisticated way that Leda's dad was programmed this episode.
So there's a lot of other stuff we could talk about, but I think we'll probably save it for Tuesday. You said you wanted to talk a little bit about the intro, though. So maybe we can do that and then go over to our instant talk where we'll take questions and stuff.
Yeah, again, post anything you want to talk about or want us to pick our brains about. So I took a couple notes during the credits, the intro, the credit scene.
Okay.
And, you know, you've got the standard stuff of the hands playing the piano and the piano playing itself. Some of the new elements this year, a 3D printed fly. I mean, obviously that's taking the horse and rider slot. It's taken the eagle with the afterburner slot. It's now nice. Hot. And it seems like, yeah, obviously flies are a big part of the season. Mm-hmm. You got the tower that we've seen Shaloris kind of lord over. We think that's the control center for her human inverted Delos Park type of thing that she's doing, trying to perfect human society. You've got two androgynous bodies facing each other in what appears to be a mirror, but you later find out is a series of interconnected tubes along a spherical surface that are on fire. I'm wondering if this is Paradise Lost, because I thought those tubes, when it zoomed out, it looked a lot like a marble, and I'm thinking of, like, you know, the marble that Bernard carried that had, you know, everyone's consciousness and a copy of the Sublime in it, and that going bad. Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking when I saw that.
Yikes. All right. I was thinking about Station Eleven and that helmet, the space helmet that the young Kirsten makes.
Dr. Station, whatever the fuck his name was.
Yeah.
They also seemed to replace the milk fluid creation process of the host with some kind of white vapor depositing. Did you notice that? It's like now a fog instead of a milk.
Oh, boy.
So host production technology seems to have changed a little bit. But yeah, that's the, like I said, I don't know what all that means. But we'll find out in the future of the show. Okay, as Jim alluded to, there's lots more to talk about, which we will be back on Tuesday to do just that. Make sure you get your feedback, westworld@baldmove.com. We will either be considering that on Tuesday. If we get a bunch, like we usually do, we'll probably have its own feedback show later on the week. But this is our instant take. Again, we just watched this thing and sat down and recorded this. You can watch us live on Sunday night, just after Westworld finishes. If you support us in the club, go to support.baldmove.com to find out how to do that and get all the other benefits of being a club member. We will see you Tuesday, and of course on next week's episode. Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.